Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
And welcome to Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation. And this is our first show at our new home for our loyal listeners that have been following us over the past, how many years? 3 years, Fran?
We started in 2006.
Okay, so
July
2006. So bbsradio.com will be our new home, and you can follow us and always link on to the show via a link on our website at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. There's a new number to call. That number is 1-888-815-9756, and we will repeat that number throughout the show. This is our regular edition of The Gathering, and Tom and Melissa Gould are here, and I'm Bob Ginsberg, and Fran Ginsberg is here. And welcome to The Gathering. And the topic tonight is going to be how to choose and evaluate a medium. As you know, these discussion shows are meant to be an alternative for people that cannot physically attend these afterlife discussion groups that we hold throughout the United States. And our panel here picks a different topic every week, usually by a suggestion that somebody sends in. And listeners are welcome to join in. We encourage that, and we love to hear from you. You can share your experiences and maybe teach us a few things. So before we get going, let's, as we always do, talk about a few upcoming events.
Okay, but before that, for our listeners who would like to have an afterlife discussion group in their area, you can send an email to adg@foreverfamilyfoundation.org, and Donna will be happy to assist you with that. Again, that's AD, like in David, G@foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Our next event coming up very, very soon is on July 16th at the Forever Family Foundation Conference Room in Oceanside, New York. It features medium Angelina Diana, who will give us an evening of spirit communication for only 20 people, and that's called Visitation Rites. If you're interested in it, it starts at 7:30 p.m. You can go online and reserve your seats, or you could call the office at 631-425-7707. At this moment, there are only 5 seats left. The other biggie we want to always keep talking about is our annual conference in November. This year it will be at Fort Myers, Florida, at the Holiday Inn Fort Myers Airport at Town Center from November 12th through 14th. And just so I don't take over the whole thing, I'm going to let Tom and Melissa talk about it a little, because they've not missed the conference yet.
Well, the conference we attended last November was so exciting, and the presenters that we brought now, I'm not wearing my reading glasses, Fran, so I do know that Suzanne Northrup will be appearing again, and our own Claude Swanson. They were at our event in November, and I remember that it was very... The presentations that Claude gave, and definitely the demonstration by Suzanne Northrup, was not to be missed. Both very exciting speakers.
Yep. Right. And Suzanne this year is going to be doing a special separate event for us on the Friday night before the weekend conference. It's a special banquet dinner where she's going to do spirit communication for the attendees of the dinner. And
the actual conference is the 13th or the 14th.
Is the 13th and right. 14th. Suzanne will be there on the 12th. And preceding the dinner is a meet and greet where everybody will get to mingle with all of the speakers.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and Claude Swanson really is not to be missed. For those of you out there who are a bit skeptical and want to know a little bit more about the science, Claude Swanson is a physicist who approaches this topic with from a scientific point of view. And I see on our mediums, Janet Mayer is one of them. I'm working with her now on doing a show for our cable television production that we have, and her story is just incredible. So you don't want to miss her. And, of course, Doreen Malloy, who literally wrote the book on mediumship.
A great book on mediumship.
Great. Right? And rounded out with Joanne Gerber and Deborah Martin. It should be fantastic.
It will be fantastic. And let's not leave out mediumship studies by Dr. Julie Bischel, paranormal studies by Mark Bocuse, and a little bit of the Monroe Institute on out-of-body explorations with Paul Rademacher. So that's kind of it, and you don't want to miss it. There's a little bit of everything for everyone, and if you don't think it's for you, you may change your mind when you're there. So make your reservations today. We have a special rate at the hotel for attendees as well. And one last thing, when you shop online, I want to remind you to do several things. First, go to our website and take out the Forever Family Foundation Visa card, and we will make a little money when you do that. And then every time you spend money by charging something to your card, we'll make a little bit there too. And so this way you're not spending any more money for us to raise money. In addition to that, when you do shop online, go to iGive.com and select Forever Family Foundation as your charity of choice. Then when you do shop online and you hit one of their stores, just by chance, a window will pop up and show you how much money is being donated to Forever Family Foundation. And if you don't, and if you want to shop on Amazon.com, our favorite, and we always post our books on our website and in our emails with links to Amazon.com, when you shop using the link on our website at Amazon, we get a little bit of that too. So those are my announcements for today.
Okay, so we're going to get started soon. I know that one of the questions that we get asked a lot at the foundation, I mean, mediumship is one of the things that we are interested in, and it's a very popular subject, and people are always calling and saying, well, how do I know what medium to go to? So tonight's topic is going to be how to choose and evaluate a medium. And what we're going to do now is we're going to go to a short break, and when we come back, we're going to begin our discussion on the gathering. So stay with us.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is ATRANSC.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Winbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Winbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to Signs of Life Radio. The number here, 1-888-815-9756. It's a new number, not one they used to, because this is our new home on bbsradio.com. So write it down, 1-888-815-9756. Is that correct, Fran?
Yeah, I thought you gave too many eights there. 888-815-9756.
Yeah.
I know,
okay.
I tried it enough times.
Yeah, okay. Well, tonight's show, as we mentioned at the top, was the topic was how to choose and evaluate a medium. And I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say that everybody in our listening audience knows what a medium is, and I shouldn't make that assumption.
You didn't make that assumption.
So
there are mediums who don't know what mediums are.
Well, then we should explain that a medium, a mental medium, is one is a person, a live person, that claims to be able to communicate with the dead, and the theory being that when we pass, when our physical life is over, that our consciousness still survives and communication can still take place. There are trance mediums where spirits take over the medium's body and can speak through the medium, and physical mediumship that was more prevalent in years past. There are some excellent physical mediums in the world today, but in physical mediumship, there are all sorts of manifestations and apports and voices and touching. You feel people touching you. So it's a whole involved process. So, but most people, for the most part, what we're talking about is here is mental mediumship, and let's face it, a lot of people seek out a medium for the first time when they have a life-changing event. Normally, you know, the death of a friend or a loved one or a close family member, and they are somewhat desperate. Some are curious, but I would say a lot of people are, you know, desperate to hear from a loved one. So it's kind of important to be able to pick, you know, a right medium. So, you know, what are the ways that we you pick a medium? I guess one we can start off with is, what do people do? They ask. They ask friends.
Word of mouth.
Yeah. Have you ever been to a medium? And if they say yes, well, who you been to?
Yeah, but I've been to a medium that came word of mouth, and she turned out to be a phony. So you still can't depend on that. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, to be a little oversimplification here, the best way is to go to the Forever Family website, because we have of medium certification program where we test mediums based on the experiments done at the Energy Life Center out in Arizona, and we I have to say that many of the mediums that we've certified, I have seen in action subsequent to that, and I am very proud of our certification program. We get very good mediums certified. So the best way would be to go to our Forever Family Foundation website, and those recommendations you can find are excellent mediums. And then you might think to yourself, well, I'm listening in Idaho, and you guys are in New York, and a lot of your mediums are here. But there are mediums who will do phone readings and email readings. In fact, some of our mediums prefer doing phone readings to in-person readings. So that's a good way to go. But certainly I be very wary, especially if you're in real need, if you're in real grief, just going down the street and going into one of these get-your-fortune-told places, you're likely to have your money removed and not your grief.
Yeah. Well, and we can talk a little bit more about that certification program later, but as Tom said, it's a process that it's very difficult for a medium to go through successfully. But we realize that there are many, many excellent, well-qualified mediums that, don't go through the program. So by no means is this an only resource. But all we're able to do is say that for that time of this procedure, under tightly controlled conditions, a medium was able to bring forth a very high level of spirit communication. Another way that people... I think there's an attitude among people that all mediums are the same. What's the difference? If a medium could talk to the dead, it doesn't matter, So, and you touched on a little bit, Tom, there is a difference between psychics and mediums. I know some people have heard it said, and I believe it to be true, that, all mediums are psychic, but not all psychics are mediums. So, in other words, people can have intuitive telepathic abilities, but that may not mean that they're necessarily that they can, communicate with a discarnate, So reading somebody's mind is different than being able to receive, communication. Unfortunately, I think that a lot of mediums, a lot of psychics advertise themselves as mediums. They don't see the distinction at all. And I believe, and I think that we all do in that respect, that there is a pretty big difference between the two.
There is, and one of the most important things that we deal with in getting back, I know we don't want to, but back to the medium certification program, is that we make it very clear that the medium who's coming to the program has to be able to know the difference between information they're getting psychically and information they're getting from the dead. If they don't, chances are they are just a psychic and not a medium.
Do you think that that experience is important, in a medium? In other words, whether they are doing it for 6 months or doing it for 10 years, do you think experience? Some might say, well, it doesn't really matter because, a mediumship is mediumship. But what do you think?
I think there are ways, the things we've come to expect from the readings that we've each personally had, where we know that the mediums use a sign to represent something. And some of us here have studied with mediums, and we understand that once that sign is in place, it always, to you, represents the same thing. I'm not getting this accurate, but sometimes something like white roses would mean, love, or, a police car would indicate something. And those are those medium's signs. And I think it takes quite a while when a medium is first getting started to listen to me. I couldn't be a medium because I can't speak fluently about it. But when they speak and they use their signs in their readings, it just comes through flawlessly. And sometimes actually that's not a good thing, because they're so used to their sign in being interpreted as a certain way. If they take a step back and say exactly what they're seeing, that is something that the sitter, the person being read, can identify more fluently. But I think it definitely takes time for the medium to become fluent with expressing themselves. And I think I find that a lot of the mediums that I've heard have a similar style. And I don't know whether they do it on purpose. I don't know whether it's spirit helping them to bring forth the information. But their style of speaking and the way they're able to explain what they're seeing and hearing has a very familiar pattern to it. It's a very comforting thing.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, in terms of, I think where experience comes into play is where they're getting an inexperienced medium may be getting communication, but they don't recognize it as such, or they do recognize it, but they don't put it all together, you know. So, you know, it's similar. Remember, we were talking about remote viewers, you know, where they might get pieces of information, when they have all the components are there, but they don't quite, you know, put it together. And I think the same is in mediumship. You could be getting little fragments, because let's face it, as we all know, mediumship is not a direct, you know, telephone conversation as much as we would like it to be. Some mediums describe it as being underwater, you know, and, you know, so, so maybe the experience teaches a medium to be more effective in putting these pieces together. And I think where that could be another subject in itself, but and I think we've mentioned it before, but I think where mediums get into trouble is when they try to insert their own conscious opinions or interpretations into the reading. Don't you find that, Tom?
Oh, absolutely.
We call it filler, you know?
Yeah, and
they're not getting in trouble. We're getting in trouble.
Right. In fact, right to that point, I was at an event last summer that the foundation had, and I was speaking with one of the better mediums, and I was just complimenting her and saying, you know, that reading that you gave to my mother was just fantastic. And she stepped back right away and said, well, you know, it's not me. I'm just the television set. You can't compliment the television set if you like the program. And then I of course turned around and said, well, a reading with you is like a 50-inch flat screen HD TV, where some other mediums it's a little black and white with rabbit ears. So, you know, that.
What an analogy. Okay.
So that's what you've got with a medium. Yes, their message is only what the spirit is giving them. And that may tie into here when you're looking for mediums. You don't know what you're looking for. One thing don't look for is to go to a medium and say, I want to talk to Bob, my uncle, who passed 5 years ago. You know, let's make an appointment next Wednesday, bring him to me, and, you know, come and we can talk. A medium can't do that. You actually, as the sitter, have to communicate that you want Bob to come through, and then hopefully he will. But a medium, and if you go to a medium who can guarantee that they can reach whoever you want to reach, that's a red flag.
Right. And
because it's still up to spirit.
Absolutely.
As we have free will here, they have free will there. So
yeah.
They don't want to come in for whatever reason.
Right.
They don't want to talk to you. They don't like the medium. Whatever this
right.
thing is, just like you say, a medium can't command it to happen.
Yeah, the medium's like a long-distance operator, and if nobody's on the other end of the line, the operator can't tell you anything.
And experience comes in here, too. It's not just that cut and dry. You know, the medium has to, the more experience they have, the more they, A, know the difference between what's psychic and what's coming from spirit.
True.
They know when their symbols that Melissa was talking about are good and are not good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many times have we seen it where they said, oh, a red rose means this to me, I'm sorry, but in
yeah.
your case, you know,
yeah.
they're able to step back and put that library aside. And there are some that don't use the library at all. They have such good skills of hearing the spirit speak with them that they don't need the library at all.
True.
So all of this comes with experience.
And you are listening to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. Number is 1-888-815-9756. And the, you know, getting back to the specifics and choosing a medium, I would say, I'm sure you might agree that when you, a lot of mediums advertise, whether on websites or newspaper ads and so forth, and if you see a claim like an absolute claim that a medium knows everything about an afterlife, or a medium is guaranteeing to connect with your loved ones. I think that's a kind of a red flag indicator, because no scientists, mediums, nobody knows this for sure. They have no idea how they do it, and certainly it's not 100% of the time. Good mediums are accurate, you know, 80, 90% of the time sometimes, but when somebody claims that they always, you know, can connect, I think that's a problem. And the other thing, and I know it's a question that we ask mediums, what do you do when you're in a faced with a situation where you're doing a reading that somebody has paid you for, and absolutely nothing comes through? The connection is not made, whether that has something to do with the medium or the spirit or the sitter. I mean, we're not blaming anybody, but for whatever reason, the connection's not made. What do you do? My personal feeling is that if an instance like that happens, a medium has a certain obligation to say, I'm really sorry, admit that nothing is happening, not charge them for that session, and perhaps, you know, reschedule it for another time. Now, some of you might disagree with that, or mediums might disagree. I mean, what do you think?
Well, the only thing I'd like to add to that, and we've seen this happen before, where somebody will go to a medium, they'll get a whole bunch of information, and then at the end say, well, you didn't give me any information, you know.
Right.
So it's still the sitter's obligation to be a good sitter and to validate pieces of information that are true, and to say, you know, as much as they may think it hurts the medium, it does not, the piece of information doesn't fit. And when the medium hears no, 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 throughout the first 5, 10, 15 minutes of the reading, then you're correct. The medium should then back off and say, look, this isn't happening.
And also, we found that our mediums have also reminded our sitters they really only want yes and no answers. They don't want to be fed information.
Right.
But I agree with you, Fran. I mean, it's not fair to the medium. You can't sit there for an hour and then say, oh, I didn't get anything with my money back. That's not fair. But I think it's clear, maybe not 5-10 minutes, but, you know, maybe, 15-20 minutes into it. And the medium would, most good mediums would recognize it in a situation. You know, some mediums that are not so proficient might try to, there's where they get into trouble, using their own interpretation, and then you could be accused of cold reading and things of that nature. So, I think that that is a problem. It does go two ways. What about the mediums that when you're going to search for one, and again you look on their website, and they advertise that they do everything under the sun, like there's 15 things listed. You know, they do
red flag tarot cards.
Yeah. Well, they do. I mean, I understand.
They're reverends and they're Reiki masters, and they do massage and facials, and where are you going to stop?
A lot of them. You know, but I recognize that mediums do. They're intuitive people, and they do certain things. I prefer to see my, you know, a medium, you know, specialize in one in mediumship. But I don't take it away from, you know, if they do, you know, Reiki or they do some psychic, you know, work. I mean, that's all part of it. I'm just turned off when I see that they're advertising so many different things that they do. You know, I mean, I'd rather.
And I think if there's anything that we've learned from the study of mediumship is that the medium has to have a commitment to it.
Yeah.
If they're so spread out, there is no commitment. There's no commitment, because spirit's got to know you're serious about this thing and you're doing the work for the greater good.
Yeah, and it is a two-way street as far as mediums and sitters, because we had an experience where a married couple we sent to one of our very good mediums, and the wife came out and said, wow, you know, my husband's father came through, and it was definitely him. I could tell it was him. And then the guy came out and said, ah, this was crap. He didn't say anything about the way I don't want to get too specific, but he said, he didn't say a thing about my drumming, you know, so he threw out the whole reading.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't,
well,
again,
that's an expectation.
You can't have expectations.
Yeah. Well, what about another topic that comes up a lot is how much should a medium charge, you know? And again, I don't think that there's a set answer to that. I mean, mediums have to feed their family the same way that we have to feed our families. So mediumship, one criticism that you hear is that, well, if a medium is able to communicate with it, they shouldn't charge, you know, it's kind of, you know, but I don't.
They still
have to live in this world. I do think it's the fees should be reasonable. You know, I mean, I can't. You know, there are certain fees that I think are exorbitant, and that becomes elitist, and it doesn't give access to their services to a lot of people. And I personally, I don't have a. I don't care how good you are. I think you still have to have some. Reasonable, or
I think it's also called compassion.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of people may disagree with me on this, but I don't see much value in a medium packing in 500-600 people, you know, to a venue, you know, to do a demonstration. There's value to the medium. I mean, it's very lucrative. But my feeling is that there are many, many people that are very desperate and go there actually thinking that there's a strong possibility that their loved one is going to come through. And, you know, if you have 500-600 people at a venue, you know, in a couple of hours, you know, maybe there would be, you know, 10 readings. So the odds are not very good.
Yeah.
So, and now the medium's argument to that would be, well, we do this because it shows everybody, you know, it's proof to everybody that their loved ones still exist, because these loved ones
still exist.
There is a point to that. Yeah.
That's fine if you advertise it that way. They're going to be 2,000 seats sold.
Yeah.
This way, people who are really, really desperate know that they're taking a chance by showing up. There is nothing worse than being freshly bereaved, walking into one of these things, and you have this sense of entitlement that it hurts me so much the person has to come through, and then they don't, mm-hmm. and you walk out feeling worse than when you walked in. That's just like when you're in that deep grief, you should not go to these group things.
Yeah.
I think I could see, you know, both sides of it. Definitely don't go if you're freshly grieving, but also it's beneficial if you just want to experience what it's all about, but don't go with any expectations
right.
of being read. Then when you feel you're more prepared, schedule your own private reading, because I think all of us have seen at some of these group readings, anything can be said, and, you know, it's up to you to say yes or no, and something that you might not even want made publicly known may be said. Not, you know, it might not be a negative thing to everybody, but you just might not want to sit there with your friends next to you and have to say, yeah, that's true. Or
Right.
I think we've hit on a very important point. Certainly, Fran, in that, what you just said, is that when you're in a position of grief, you're very vulnerable, and you have to recognize that first and know that about yourself. Know that it's not just yourself, it's about all humans in that situation. And early on, before we even were connected with the foundation, I had an experience happen to me in Maine that I categorized as nothing short of miraculous, and I thought that there must have been a spirit involved in what happened, and I wanted to know about it, and we saw this ad for John Edward doing a thing at the Westbury Theater here on Long Island, which holds, I guess, probably 10,000 people, and we bought tickets for it to go see him, and yet I walked in thinking, well, what happened to me was so significant that I'm going to walk in the door and John Edward's going to look up from the stage and go, oh, you know, and tell me what I needed to know and why I, you know, why that thing. And I think everybody in that auditorium who had a loved one who they really loved, you know, closely, family member, probably goes in saying, well, you know, my husband, my wife is going to grab that guy and make him come over to my chair and tell me something. And you have 10,000 people thinking that way. And you probably have 10 or 15 or 30,000 spirits thinking the same way. And, you know, in an hour or an hour and a half show,
you just got one medium.
And it's just not going to happen to everyone. So, yeah, excellent advice to don't go in. On the other hand, I have been in smaller ones, jumps to mind Robert Hansen. I've gone down to his dojo several times where it's smaller, 30, 40 people maybe. Never had a personal reading at his dojo, and yet the readings that he elicits and gives to the people that are sitting next to you across the room and that, and you can see it in their faces, in their tears, and all that, that he is really hitting it right on the nose. And you walk out of that with that glow, that feeling, that energy, that you have really been in the presence of something special. So there is a benefit to being in the room and not getting a reading. So I understand when the mediums say, look, it's just because you're not getting a reading, you're in the presence of spirit, and understand that your spirit that you want to hear from is around you. You're just not getting it, you know, channeled at this point. But and you do feel that. You go leave the thing going, wow, there is something to this. And just knowing, it's the believing, which is very, very difficult. Obviously, anybody listening knows that it's difficult. A lot of people listening are going, yeah, you're full of it. And that's what people are, all their lives are dealing with people telling them that you're crazy to be thinking of this, or you're working with the devil, or you're doing something that's not right. But when you see it and you feel it and you find that it is right and you actually believe, yes, this is right, the joy that you get, the energy you get, the feeling is tremendous. So if you can be in the presence of that and not get a reading, you can still get the benefit of having your faith strengthened.
Right. And on that note, I just want to add, because I know you were talking about it too, Melissa, when you went to the group thing with John Edward, it was to experience the group. And that's good advice for people to experience something like that. But don't take a TV show that shows that as being experience, because no matter how you cut it, that TV show is edited.
True.
And it makes it look like the person got, oh, my God, information, and knocked them on the floor and the whole nine yards, where the whole thing was edited down to just that.
Yeah.
So you're getting an unrealistic experience of what these large groups can bring in.
Right. Well, and we're not disputing that the information was very valid and evidential. It was. But as you say, it leads one to believe that all the information is going to be like that,
right,
and it's not. But the other thing, though, that you were all talking about, you know, people in grief. And I think that whether they like it or not, or whether they recognize it or not, and most do, the mediums are, to a certain extent, effective grief counselors, and even though they don't have the so-called credentials to do it. Now, you know, mainstream mental health professionals and psychiatrists and psychologists do not entertain or bring in subjects of communication with the dead or the afterlife when treating their patients. But I think there's a growing swell, and we see it because they call us, of grief counselors and psychologists that find that their patients do better when they do integrate these discussions, you know, into the session. So, going back to how it relates to a medium and how to select a medium, I think that it's important for the medium to have a certain understanding of grief and a certain degree of compassion. And we've all seen certain mediums that exhibit that, you know, in a wonderful way. And we've also seen some that are, my God, how are they sitting in front of people? You know, it's like, you know. Now, so we can, you know, so the question would be, I think that it is important, you know, the question is it important for a medium to have some knowledge about, I hate the word grief process, but some feelings about how people feel after losing loved ones and how compassionate, you know, they are. Now, it's a fine line because a medium is, let's say a medium is sitting with somebody they know is in deep grief and they so want to help them but the information's not coming through.
Yeah.
For me, the worst thing that you could do in that situation is give me false information thinking you're going to help me, you know? So, I mean, would you agree that it's important for a medium to
Definitely. Yeah. These people are so fragile. So, yeah. And I say these people, it's all of us.
Right.
Anyone.
And I know that I've been to a medium where absolutely no information has come through. And it is very devastating. I mean, it's one thing when you're sitting in a large group and you walk out with nothing, because at least you can try to rationalize it.
Right.
But when you sat one-on-one and you paid for this thing, it's very devastating.
Right. And then when Tom was talking about before about, the large groups, and I was thinking of that, and one of the other reasons that Tom and many others were convinced that they were going to get a reading is because the bond of love that they had with that departed soul was so strong, and everybody was walking in there, with these unbreakable bonds of love, and they say that that's so powerful that that's going to overcome everybody else, And you also, Tom, raised an interesting point, is that it's not only all the sitters that are sitting there, but perhaps all of these souls or these discarded entities are also lined up, So that's a pretty difficult situation.
Check.
So just think of a medium then. The medium is, I know we've heard them describe it that way, but my God, you have, and that's why I would think a medium wouldn't want to do such a large thing, because you've got a mob of people trying to get through, making these individual connections. So, I guess the other topic that's worth discussing is, here's the simple question. Do you think that it's necessary for a medium to be spiritual? And I'll leave it at that. I mean, how would you answer that question?
Yes.
You would answer it yes. You care to elaborate on that, Fran?
Well, if what they're doing is coming from a spiritual realm, they have to have some understanding of their own relationship to it. And they have to honor it, and they have to respect it. So on that level, you have to be spiritual. Now, I just want to be specific here, that spiritual does not mean religious.
Right.
Religion is just a poor effort at trying to organize people who are spiritual. That's all religion is. And look what it's done to the world. But if you're purely spiritual and you take every religion down to its basic core, you see spirituality. And I think that that's what unites us. It's all about love. And if a medium can't relate on that level, maybe they're not really a medium.
Yeah, I kind of agree in the sense that it's kind of by definition they're spiritual, mm-hmm. just because that they're communicating with spirit.
Well, I would agree with that part of it, because you would say to yourself, well, how could somebody that communicates with the dead, or with people that are no longer in the physical, how could they not have an understanding, that or see the link between the way that they live their lives, in the physical, and how that has an effect, afterwards? But the point is, with a medium, I mean, when I look at it, I'm really concerned about the evidence, so I'm not as concerned. I think that too many mediums think that just because that they can communicate, with the dead, that automatically puts them in a spiritual realm, and that's not necessarily true. I look at it, kind of more of a, I guess from a left brain point of view, is I don't really care about their spirituality, and I don't really care about their insights. Give me the evidence. Give me the evidence that our loved ones survive. That's what I'm looking for.
And a cart before the horse, because I certainly have met at least one young person who has the gift, who, just and I've certainly heard and read from mediums for when they were young. They didn't start off going down, going off to Tibet or something like that, on a spiritual path. They were just going about their daily business, and all of a sudden, boom, they're looking at an apparition, or they're trying to sleep at night, and they've got four or five people sitting at the end of their beds trying to talk to them. So So that I basically am flip-flopping here on my answer. That yeah, you don't. You're not necessarily spiritual if you're a medium. It comes to you.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. Also, if you notice, I mean, we interact with a lot of mediums, and very few mental mediums that we have come across over the years talk about what life is like on the other side. They usually have very little insight about what actually goes on in this other dimension. And people automatically say, well, you have to know, you're talking to the dead. Mediums that channel spirits and write books and, you know, Seth books and so forth, you know, that's in a different class, you know. I mean, going into trance and channeling, and they describe this elaborate stuff. But the mediums that we come in contact with, they're not channelers, you know, but that's what their job is. Their job is not to tell us what life is like. Their job is to give us the evidence. But it's hard for most people to conceive of how they can't know. I mean,
you bring up Seth, and you're reading it now, but Seth makes a point to say, you can't understand what it's like over there. Your human mind cannot comprehend what it is. So, you know, don't even expect me to explain to this, because you couldn't understand it if I did. And so that's one thing. Another that we get is from when our loved ones come through, and my dad in particular comes through, and the message is that, and Seth has the same message, hey, it's great over here. This is fun. I'm having a great time. I can walk. I can dance. I can fly. I can do anything I want. You know, I can go here one day. I'm there the next day. And, you know, just wonderful. You know, there's none of the hindrances of having to live in a physical body and that sort of thing. So that is the message that I have heard more consistently than any other. But as far as, well, is it like fields and meadows and flowers and what, you know, heaven is supposed to be like, that we don't get.
Well, I think we've gotten it. It's just that everybody's got a different story, which means that it's probably up to the individual to make of their existence there what they want to make of their existence.
Right, and the phrase, you create your own reality,
right,
here is, you create your own reality there as well.
Right, and if we probably can strip away the physicality of this world, we would be able to make our own reality here.
That's right.
So basically that's the only change in their dimension, is that there's no physical restriction. And so it is whatever they want it to be. And that's why you'll get a different description from every medium. And some will erroneously use the word channeling. I know that you've made that reference before, that if they're channeling the information, some mediums or wanna mediums think that because they're getting information, it's channeled. And if it's channeled, it means it's coming from the spirit. It's not coming through you for your interpretation to come out of your mouth the way you believe it should be. It's the way that it is.
Right.
So that's the only difference, and that's another thing to look for. And maybe what we need to be doing towards the end of this show is literally making a list of different ways to evaluate a medium, or different things to look for when checking out a medium, or maybe different questions to ask when you're interviewing a medium to make an appointment.
Yeah, well, one of the other things that we didn't discuss, and there are various, you know, websites, most of them are commercial enterprises, you know, and I don't want to get into any specifics with any specific sites, but there are sites, you know, that claim that they have, you know, the top or the best or this or that, but when you investigate in some of these sites, it's the medium pays to be listed, you know, so it's a complete commercial enterprise. So the first thing that you would want to ask some questions in going to a site is, well, how are these mediums selected? I mean, the mediums have to ask some questions. The mediums pay to be listed. What kind of evaluation is done? How is the evidence evaluated? What are the procedures? Is it done, you know, in person? Start poking around a little bit, because, as you know, we live in a world of advertising, so it's a commodity, you know. So I'd be aware of that. Also, I'd say decide before you go. I know tonight's topic is about mediumship, but there are some people that they're not interested in talking to the dead. They're interested in knowing what their love life is going to be, or what their health is going to be, or what their future holds for them. So if you want to decide whether you want to go for a psychic reading or you want to go for a mediumistic reading, and then decide that way. Now, of course, with psychics, I mean, there are a million disease hotlines, and you pay by the hour.
I always said with those psychic hotlines, they should be calling me if they're a psychic.
Right. Yeah, but those are certainly, I don't give any credence to any of those sites, you know, at all. So I guess if we were going to sum up, as Fran said, talking about what to look for, word of mouth is good, but it's not, just don't have the expectations because one person had a great reading, you aren't necessarily going to, but at least you can get a feel for whether the person was compassionate, whether the person gave, strong evidence. One thing that we didn't get into, and maybe that's for another show, is, the medium should not be asking you questions. You know, you should be not providing information. They should be providing the information to you, not the other way around. So if you're talking to your friend who went to a medium, might want to ask, did the medium ask you questions? Did the medium, what kind of specifics did they give? There are many books and articles and websites maintained by scientists. Check them out. Winbridge.org. Dr. Julie Beischel is one of the few scientists in the world, if not the only one right now, that's really investigating mediums and mediumship. So you might want to, check out their website. Just to recap some of the things we talked about, I mean, be a little skeptical if a medium is doing 20 different things, We mentioned experience, fees.
I wanted to also, for the fees, rather than get into specifics right now, not to keep touting our own website, but those mediums that we've certified have, I think, their fees listed. So it just gives you sort of a range to go by.
I don't know if all of them list their fees, but I think that all of them
people
should
be afraid to ask.
You should ask.
And that's true. They shouldn't be afraid to ask.
Yeah.
And I also like add to your list Melissa's suggestion of going to a group that medium does, a group reading that means, to get a flavor of how they do it and follow your own intuition on whether they're being legit or not.
Right.
And also remember our findings that they should always be willing to let you record the session.
Oh, yeah.
And that's invaluable to listen to it back again. It just things you maybe at first couldn't identify during the time of the reading, and lots of times that happens where you just shut down and you can't even answer the medium. And it's always best to say, I'll write that down, I'll look into it, or maybe rather than a flat-out no. So those are, those are the things we found, that they should always be willing to let you do an audio tape of,
right,
of the reading.
And, of course, at our next gathering, we're going to be talking about warning signs and how to tell the difference between a psychic and a medium. So that will be on August 5th, the first Thursday of August. We'll be back. But before we end, and I've been doing this at the last couple of shows, and I'm going to continue doing this, to give some energy of love and gratitude to the waters and all the living creatures in Mexico's Gulf by praying like this, if everybody can join in, to the waters, whales, dolphins, pelicans, fishes, shellfishes, planktons, corals, algae, and all the creatures in our Gulf of Mexico. I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. And that was written by Masaru Emoto on May 9th, 2010. And if you can just have those thoughts each and every day, and hopefully, like Masaru Emoto, being able to clear up a glass of water that was impure, maybe we can help clear up the Gulf of Mexico.
Right, and that's the Dr. Emoto who's done the research on water crystals and changing molecules and so forth. But getting back to, I really like that suggestion that you had when picking out a medium of going to a small group, not a 500 group, but a group of 10 or 20 or even 30 or so people, and because you'll see how much evidence was given, the reaction of people when they're getting the information, you could talk to some of these people afterwards, and they'll be able to tell, you know, validate, and then you get a pretty good feel for if that's a medium that you want to go to. And I think that a lot of mediums recognize that's a good way of spreading the word about the work that they do, and they have a lot of those little sessions. So, if anybody has any questions about mediumship, they could certainly write to us on the website by visiting foreverfamilyfoundation.org. And,
or they could send us an email at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
And next week's show, I believe, is with Terry Daniels. You can tune in. We'll be sending you out an email about that show, so look for that in the mail. And again, thanks to our new home at bbsradio.com.
And we'd like to remember Kathy Calzea today. It's a one-year anniversary of her passing, and we still love her and miss her.
Okay, and with that, we'd like to tell everybody that our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.